You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the free agent feeding frenzy firing on all cylinders. We'll tell you why the quietest among them might be the best off of all. Meanwhile, the latest Eagle has the greatest Eagle dreaming big about what the future will find in Philadelphia. We'll tell you what you think. And then, if you think you know what they're doing in Pittsburgh, think again. All things are not always as they appear. Let's do this thing, people. It's a Thursday and it's time to... Woo! LSU is in the house today. Marcus sent a whole bunch of people,
and
he didn't show up. But we're delighted to have them here. Neek is ready to go. Kmart. Oh, look at D-Wood, fresh.
Ooh,
whoa! Barely even recognize him. He's like a newborn baby.
Yeah, he looks young.
Quite a large one. Okay, we'll get to all the football, but first. My favorite thing in the world. Your wake-up call this morning. Look at this finish in the whack while you were asleep. Go.
Tie game now. Kajust races toward the paint. Lost the ball. Simmons up ahead. Simmons blocked at the rim. What a play by Christmas. 1 second to go. Kajust for the win. Oh! It's good! Lumberjacks win! Stephen F. Austin, an incredible finish.
I mean, what is there anything in sports better than that? Obviously, being on the wrong side of it has got to be excruciating, but there is nothing in my mind better.
That block is better. Defense—that's what I'm here to talk about. Right. That was easy, unguarded. Whatever. The block, though.
But the finishes—I just mean these finishes. These kids.
South Carolina, yes, women. South Carolina women having their finish the other day. Awesome. Let's not forget.
No, but they're the number one team in the country. Yeah. Like these are these kids. This is their one shining moment, right?
Yes.
Stephen F. Austin on their way. The madness.
It's a great time of year.
Is upon us. That's exactly right. BC, you're feeling good about it. Maryland. Big Ten tournament.
Hey! How come we haven't asked about Wesleyan and
Wesleyan.
Syracuse?
Wesleyan going to win the NESCAC tournament. You feeling good about that? All right. Let's get to the NBA last night. The Lakers, the Kings, the domination. The Kings all over the King. Oh, D-Wood not going to be happy when he sees what Domantas Sabonis was doing to your guy Anthony Davis all night long. Look at him working.
Face up, cash.
Come on, man. Come on.
Come on, Ryan.
Come on. We got to do better than that.
Sabonis a triple-double with 19 rebounds, and then watch him here working on, AD.
Oh, Damian.
Down he goes.
Explain
now,
that.
You do have a good moment here. Can I just feast your eyes on Mr. James?
Whoa. Oh.
There's one, and here comes another one for you.
Look at those knees.
Oh, the left
Look at those
hand.
Knees.
LeBron had 18.
The landing is rough.
Night.
The landing is rough.
Austin Reeves actually had a big night for the Lakers. He would score 28, and the Lakers would go on a run that would get them within some semblance of shouting distance, but not nearly enough. Kings, Sabonis, Harrison Barnes. Sabonis had his 23rd triple-double. That's the most of anyone in the NBA this season, and he lights the beam as the Kings sweep the season series from the Lakers. And D-Wood, I'm sorry to say it, but the upper hand Sabonis has is on Anthony Davis. He is now AD 0-10 in his career against Sabonis. That is the worst regular season record for AD against any single player. The Kings swept the Lakers this year. Sabonis averaged 18 points and 18 rebounds per game.
Jeez.
All right, so there's your basketball story. Let's get to the NFL. Free agency, fast and furious. Let's do winners and losers so far. Dominique Foxworth, give me a big winner.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the Eagles for the obvious reasons, because Saquon is a monster difference maker that they're getting at a very cheap price because he plays running back. He's going to have an impact on that team. But I think Chauncey Gardner-Johnson might sneaky be the biggest addition that they made, bringing him back, the turnovers he creates. And honestly, the biggest problem in the Eagles' defense last year was linebackers and secondary. And they get a safety with the attitude of Gardner-Johnson and the playmaking ability of him. I think they are back near the top of the East.
Yeah, they made some big flashy moves yesterday, and I love the Saquon. D. Wood, give me another winner in free agency.
Man, I'm going with them H-Town boys in Houston, Texas. You hit on the quarterback. Guess what? Now you open up the purse, the bag up for those guys. Danielle Hunter, one of the top pass rushers that we have in the league, going back home to play for his Houston Texans. And how about Joe Mixon making a trade to bring the running back from the Cincinnati Bengals over? Love what the Houston Texans are doing so far.
How quickly they've put something together in Houston. Let's go to the other side, Kmart. Who's been a big loser so far?
Greeny, it pains me to say, still Justin Fields. You know why? Because Justin Fields is still in Chicago. They cannot, we know that they want to move him, yet they can't. And the longer this goes on, teams understand, the cheaper his price tag drops. And I just think Justin wants so desperately to be somewhere else. He wants to know where his future is, and he still doesn't know.
Yeah, they're in a holding pattern there. We'll talk much more about that as the hour continues. And then I'll take one here, and I'll speak on behalf of America about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. We're all in. Jerry said we're all, well, we haven't been all in so far. In fact, up until late last night, they had been all out. They were the last team to make a move in this free agency, and that led our guy Ryan Clark from LSU to yesterday say this about what the Cowboys need on their roster.
If the Cowboys don't get a linebacker, if the Cowboys don't retool the back of their secondary or the middle of their secondary, if they don't find a way to get someone outside of CeeDee Lamb to help Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboys are not going to be a factor in the NFC. There are things that they are going to have to address going forward, and if those things do not change, this team is going to be in the bottom half of the NFC East.
Ooh, you're in commander and giant land when you're having that conversation. Meanwhile, they did finally get on the board. Shefty tweeting last night, they get on the schneid. They flipped a pick, if you will, or flipped a choice. Eric Kendricks deciding to go to Dallas instead of going to San Francisco. So Mike Zimmer wanted him to help his run defense, and he preferred to play in Dallas. So that's where he is headed. So the conventional wisdom has been up here and everywhere that I've been watching and listening to the last few days. Oh, the Cowboys are in trouble. Oh, the Cowboys aren't making any moves. Oh, the Cowboys are falling behind. Dominique Foxworth, what do you have to say to that?
I don't agree. They've been 60-39 in the past 6 years and have been in the 20s as far as spending every year. Traditionally, good teams don't drop the bag on the first day of free agency. They don't because they have good players who they have to play. And that's the Cowboys' problem is they're gearing up to pay a lot of good players that they've been drafting. This is as much a hard time as we give the Cowboys. It's been a very well-run organization up until this point. Adding Mike Zimmer, huge move right there to help solidify their scheme and be stronger against the run. Like, I'm surprised that everyone is acting like a good team supposed to make a big splash of free agency. It just doesn't happen. It's like the teams who are consistently at the top are not normally the teams that are spending all their money.
Why do you sound skeptical of that?
No, I agree with my brother Dominique. Oh. However, one counter argument to that is, what did the Eagles do? Well, yeah. There's monster.
I'm still right, though.
No.
Because
I agree with you.
They didn't spend big money.
Honestly,
they got a good deal. Saquon's not big money. $12 million a year is not big money for a player of that impact.
For that position?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. It is for that position. It actually brings up an interesting question. I know we're going to dive into this a little bit later, but my favorite thing I saw in all of the notes from last night was when you sent a note saying we shouldn't judge Saquon Barkley the way we judge other running backs because he makes a different kind of impact.
In free agency, it just blew my mind at some of the people, receivers, whose names, as far as money, was near Saquon. Because I know he's a running back, and I know we don't pay running backs, but he's different.
He's not a running back.
Christian McCaffrey's different. These guys are focal points of offenses, and it saddens me to see what happens.
So we'll dive into that, but to stay where I was for a moment there, do you feel, D. Wood, as you've watched us, I haven't had you in here, I don't think, since Monday. Mm-hmm. So as you've watched all these things that have happened, we were talking about, well, maybe Derrick Henry will. Maybe Saquon Barkley go to Dallas. No, that didn't seem to happen. So do you feel like the Cowboys are falling behind?
No, not at all. Again, like Dominique talked about, they've never been the team that did just splash in free agency. They've done such a great job of drafting and developing their talent that they have to pay their own guys. That's what really good organizations do. They have to pay their guy. By the way, Dak Prescott is sitting on a $59.5 million cap hit.
Right.
They can't go out here and splurge when your quarterback is eating up that big of a chunk in your cap. So they got to take care of him. They got to take care of CD. And they got to take care of Michael. You start doing that. And I'll also add this. We are, like, Free agency is just, what, 48 hours or 24 hours? We're just 24 hours in free agency.
Yeah.
There is plenty of time to continue to add, make trades, all these type of things. Like, everybody just needs to just slow down a little bit.
Kmart.
Look at don't start beef with me this morning.
It's going to be beef.
Don't start
there's beef.
This morning. Yeah, don't start.
We're going to have potted meat with you today.
No, I completely agree with them. Here's the thing, though. What did Jerry Jones say?
All in.
All in. We are all in because I'm trying to win it all. Mm. That is, I think that is the difference because how the Cowboys are acting is literally how they've always acted. But Jerry Jones now making the distinction of, hey, guys, this year, yeah. This is the year we're in.
But you know what, Kimberly?
I think that is what sets. Wait one second. That is what sets fans up. Like, okay,
you know
all right,
where,
sit
know,
back.
You know where you
something.
And the fans made your first mistake? You believed anything that came out of Jerry Jones' mouth. I don't care what he got to say. They've been all in every year since he's owned the team, if you ask him. So I think that the way that this team is behaving is responsible and effective.
It is, but I think him saying all in, knowing that last year they didn't call about Derrick Henry at the trade deadline. They didn't even, so we knew they weren't going to go after him this year. They have Dak. They got to get CD under contract. Like, they have Micah, all these things. It is good that they are doing it, but I'm saying the fact that he said all in is why people expected
Bishop?
The Cowboys to be doing something different, and they're not.
Bishop,
that's all.
Can I just rephrase what you said? So the bishop of our program here, Damian Woody, said, well, they got to pay all their own guys.
Yeah.
And that's great. The other way of phrasing that sentence is they're going to have the same exact players. They're just going to be paying them a lot more. They haven't added anything to a team that got humiliated in their own house in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that strikes me as problematic.
If you felt like the reason, so it's a single game elimination tournament, sometimes the results are a bit fluky. They might have been worse than the Packers, but they're not as much worse as the score suggested. If you think that they need to have an overhaul, then we can't have this conversation. We have to have some basis in fact. The things that they need to change are minor. They need to go get some attention for the offensive line. They need to address the size of their linebackers. They're going to get some D linemen back that are healthy. They got a new D coordinator. Like, I think these are the type of adjustments you have to make when you're knocking on the door. The idea that they need to have an overhaul.
But no one is saying overhaul. There's a big they need to get a little better around the margins is what you're basically saying.
Yeah.
And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But this is the week when everyone in the NFL is doing that.
They got Eric Kendricks.
Okay.
They got that's a move.
They waited
to address from the 49ers because he wanted to come play for
and address the specific problems.
By the way, can I just make one quick point here? Because we mentioned that you two are going to have beef today. I have beef with Kimberly Martin.
I just want you all to see.
Can we just show you what happened yesterday? Neek, I want you to just analyze what we're seeing.
Don't have Neek analyze.
I was reading us a little bump here. Go ahead and roll that, if you would, please. This was the moment. I was taking us out. RC gives me a little fist bump and Kim.
Oh!
No!
Wow! Are you serious?
Guys.
First lady. Look at your face.
No, hold on.
First
of all, Ryan Clark, what a hero.
Oh my God.
I got you, bro.
In my defense, guys, I didn't see it. Sometimes you don't notice guys trying to holler. I didn't see it.
You chose not to see it.
I didn't see it.
You chose not to see it.
I didn't see it.
Get your periffs up. Head on a swivel. This is live television.
Greeny was live. He was doing his thing. I was trying to get off set so he could have.
You should
Damian?
Have beef. Like, real beef. Yes.
Treated me like I'm potted meat up in here.
Like some spam out here.
What's going on?
All right.
As we continue, with Saquon in Philly, could Jason Kelce be having second thoughts about retirement? Should the Eagles be begging him to come back? You'll hear him address it. Plus, Stephen A. told everyone to calm down about Captain Kirk. But I'll tell you why my dear friend Mr. Smith is absolutely wrong. Next, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings, pick six with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick six not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by 9-1-1, season premiere tonight, 8/7 Central on ABC, stream on Hulu.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
What's the question?
Next.
What's the question?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Any teams?
Next question.
That's a BS question, man.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Nothing will ever top Johnny Mack. All right, here we go. Dominique is here. I'm gonna present to him a series of hard-hitting questions, and whether he's ready or not, he must answer them. Here's the first one. Dominique, will Russell Wilson revitalize his career in Pittsburgh?
I doubt it. Like, there's two issues with Russell Wilson right now. Is he holds on to the ball for too long, and he also has like a low average depth of target. If you're gonna hold on to the ball and create like high risk opportunities to get sacked, we need the reward every now and then to be 40 yards. But it's not, it's six. And I think that combination sets you up to not have success in this league.
So his plays are slow and short. Is
what
you're
telling me. What are we doing? That's not the recipe for success.
That's a dangerous combination. Yes, the sport is generally made of people who are fast and long.
No, not him.
As opposed to slow and short. Okay, next. If I said the Eagles, so they made this big splash signing Saquon Barkley. Does Jalen Hurts win the NFC East now with Barkley in the backfield?
I think so. Like, this team is incredibly talented. What happened with them last year was a function of, I think, an unsophisticated offense and some issues with personnel in the linebacking core and secondary. Also, their D-line wasn't getting as many sacks as they had last year. They addressed that issue, addressed some of the secondary issues, and I do think that this offense is going to be much more explosive under Kellen Moore with the addition of Saquon Barkley.
I completely agree with that. And then let's go to what I guess is the biggest move of free agency so far, because the team went out and got their starting quarterback. Atlanta with Kirk Cousins, will they win the NFC South?
They have to. Yeah. Like, I think they have to. Their offensive line is good, which I think is going underappreciated. This is why they are set up to be kind of like what the Lions have been, where you get a quarterback that's average to above average, pretty good quarterback. You surround him with some talent, get him some good coaching, protect him. The defense got better last year. They're switching defensive schemes, but they still have talent on that side with Jesse Bates. I think they're the best team in that division, and you don't pay a quarterback like that unless you're trying to make a run at a Super Bowl.
That's right.
That's the first thing.
That's the point. Right. And I think it's being undersold to some degree. You don't pay $100 million guaranteed dollars to try and win a bad division.
Mm-mm.
You do it to try and accomplish a lot more than that. And our buddy Stephen A. Smith says he does not think that is the way the hype should be going around Kirk Cousins.
Can we calm down? That's all I'm saying. I know he can play. I know it's an upgrade. I know if you Pitts, I know if you Bijan Robinson and the crew, I know if you London and those boys, you should be happy. I got it. I understand he's not a scrub. But this guy got one. He got less player victories than Dak Prescott. Come on, y'all. Mm-hmm. Can we calm down?
Okay, so I understand the point that Stephen A. is making. No one has ever said, oh, we just won the Super Bowl because we got Kirk Cousins. In his career, he has one playoff win, and he's involved in two games that ended in a tie. He's actually been in more ties than he has playoff wins. But here's what I'll say. Not all signings are created equal,
right?
So $100 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins, it sounds like a lot, but the reality is, for that team, I think it made all the sense in the world. I think they're much closer than people are saying. I think they were badly coached, and they were terribly quarterbacked last year. And if they have better coaching with average to slightly above average quarterback play. I think they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the NFC. That's right, I said it.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I think that we've seen, of course, you want to pay a lot of money to get a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. You know what? They ain't out there. They're not going to be available. This is what we have seen, that the 49ers have gotten close and been capable of winning the Super Bowl. We think that the Lions are capable of winning the Super Bowl. That's the type of quarterback that they've added to a roster that is similar to those rosters. So I like it as a move. Who cares? You don't want to win the transaction. Who cares about how much you're paying him? Are you a legitimate contender now when you add him? Yes.
That's what it costs to get him. Legitimate Super Bowl contender, I said. Kmart.
Yeah, that's a bridge too far.
Bridge too far. Bridge too far. Atlanta can't play with everybody in that division. In the NFC.
Okay,
they
now
can't play with everybody
first
in the
NFC. First of all, I think you guys are sleeping on the Bucks. I understand that in that division, the Falcons huge upgrade at quarterback. But did we forget that the Bucks always win that division and they are 5-for-5 on signing their own guys in free agency? So I don't even know if the Falcons are winning their division number one. When I look at Green Bay, when I look at the Packers and the offseason that they have had, okay. When I look at the 49ers, their roster, even Dallas, and then the Eagles, monster move getting Saquon, right? Yeah. So they are improved, but I don't think Super Bowl contenders.
Super Bowl contenders, D Wood, yay or nay?
Bridge too far for me.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Bishop.
I will say that Raheem Morris said in his opening press conference that he wouldn't be here if they had a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They addressed the quarterback. That's a big, big issue with all the weapons and all that. I think Zach Robinson, offensive coordinator, is going to know how to utilize all the pieces that they, all those high draft picks that they've accumulated over the past three plus years. So this team is definitely going to be elevated with Cooker. But Am I going to sit here and say that they're going to be able to compete with the 49ers?
Yeah.
With Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Can I say this? Let's be clear. Greeny and I are not saying that they're the favorites in the NFC. We're saying that they are contenders. So what do the Lions have that they don't have? Like, the Lions' defense was bad last year. And you know what? They had the 49ers against the ropes. They are capable of winning their division.
The Falcons a sleeping giant. This is their opportunity to be awakened. You know how old I am? I'm old enough to remember when Drake London was drafted ahead of Garrett Wilson and no one blinked an eye. I'm old enough to remember when Kyle Pitts was the fourth pick in the draft and people said he was going to revolutionize the tight end position. I'm old enough to remember when Bijan Robinson was the can't-miss prospect running back of a decade. They've all missed. Why? Because for some reason, they chose not to give any of them the ball, maybe because the quarterback there wasn't capable of doing it. With Kirk Cousins, that crew, and better coaching, that team is going to be legit.
I just need Kirk Cousins to do something in the postseason.
And I think the thing that that would undercut all of this would be the offensive line. They're good too.
Yes.
I don't see a reason for pessimism. Kirk Cousins is going to be at least average with this great talent around a quarterback that's average.
Excuse me. Am I sounding pessimistic?
Yes. You are.
How?
Yes, you are. And why is Kmart not looking at me?
I said that they're going to win the NFC South.
You know what? This is the problem. We just want to crown everybody in March. This is a great move. Let's see if they win their division. That's all I'm saying.
You want to crown them, Greeny? Well, go ahead and crown them.
The word was contender.
The Falcons are who we thought they were. And we'll see what they can do. All right, next up is Russell Wilson. Can he revitalize his career in Pittsburgh? Or can he even beat out the guy who's already there? The answer may not be as obvious as you think. Next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we're back on Get Up. Bottom of the hour. Let's go through some of the big free agent moves that have taken place, and we'll do it in the form of sound off. Here are some interesting people saying interesting things. There may be no one more interesting in sports right now than Jason Kelce. So he retires. Then his former team, the Eagles, make this huge splashy signing of Saquon Barkley. So now Kelce has weighed in on how he felt when he heard that news.
A little bit upset how he waited till I retired to make a move like this. This is what I'm regretting. I knew when I retired that I was going to miss just an outstanding season for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it sucks. It really does. I want to be a part of this so bad. I wish I could.
Okay, so, I mean, that's a fascinating thing because unless I missed a meeting, he could. I don't think there was like a league mandate that he had to retire. But one way or the other, I am of the opinion, and we touched on this briefly earlier, and I want you to use the example that you did. When we talk about the amount of money that Saquon got and the impact he could have on that team and how it's a lot for a running back, right, why that rubs you the wrong way, because I'm totally on your side.
Because there are, like, we're moving in a direction in football where there are, like, some positionless players, and there are players that are good enough to be a focal point of an offense. It doesn't matter what position they play. Like, it could be Kelce. He's a tight end. It doesn't matter. You pay him what it requires for a guy who you have to game plan for. And when Saquon Barkley's money went up and everybody was like, this is more than we expected for a running back. And then I saw like some receivers, like, no disrespect, but like Gabe Davis is not that type of impact player, but he's getting the same amount as Saquon Barkley, all because of the running back market. So there is no perfect solution for this, but understanding that Saquon Barkley's not a running back. Christian McCaffrey's not a running back. They are difference makers. Those are the guys that keep the defensive coordinator up the night before the game, and they are going to their meeting like, we're going to build everything to stop this guy. You don't pay that guy $13 a year.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I'll take it a step further, D-Wood. From the second he set foot on a field in any game we've ever seen, both at Penn State and every single snap he was on the Giants, he was the focal point the other defense. Now he won't be. Now that load has to be at least shared, because they got to worry about AJ on one side. They got to worry about Devontae on the other side. They got to worry about the quarterback taking off and running. Saquon Barkley, I think, I don't know that his volume will be what it has been in the past. I think he is going to have an enormous impact on that offense.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is, what I'm curious to see with the Philadelphia Eagles is how much quarterback design runs are they going to get back to. Because remember that, like, that was kind of like part of their downfall offensively, because we always talk about when quarterback design runs, it's a numbers game.
Right.
Now you have Saquon Barkley in the same backfield with Jalen Hurts. It's going to be unbelievable for Saquon Barkley, because for so long he was the guy. Yep. Like, you go into the game, it's like, okay, we shut down Saquon Barkley. They can't do anything.
Yep.
Now you go to Philadelphia with all these weapons. Like, Saquon Barkley has to be jumping for joy being in this type of offense.
What do you think, Kmart?
Yeah, because jumping off of D. Wood's point, talking to defensive coordinators all last year, years I've covered the Giants, when you talk to them about, okay, what do you do to stop this offense? Like, it starts with 26. It wasn't starting with 8. Yeah. It literally is Saquon. It will never be easier for him. Like, you think about, Hembo sent me this stat. He averaged 99 scrimmage yards per game with the Giants. That is 1,680 yards. Like, and that is with, let's just say it nicely, not the best.
Yeah.
O-line play.
There's nobody else to draw attention. Like, they didn't have receivers that were commanding doubles. They didn't have a quarterback who was picking you apart. And they didn't have an offensive line that was road grading, and he was doing that there.
And I share, you said, I don't want to pick out one person and sound like we're disrespecting them. God bless Gabe Davis. I'm glad he got all the money that he got. But Jacksonville is paying him $13 million a year. Let's call it the same thing. It's actually slightly more than Saquon is getting, right? Gabe Davis last year was 51st in the league in targets, 56th in receptions, 41st in yards. Right? Saquon Barkley is, at worst, the fourth best running back in the National Football League.
I want to go back. What Dominic said is absolutely true. I'm paying guys that you have to game plan for.
Right.
You walk into the stadium or you walk into a meeting like, if we don't take care of this guy, we don't have a shot. Saquon Barkley is like, he's one of those rare guys that we had in the league along the same lines of Christian McCaffrey and some of these other guys where you literally go into the meeting on Wednesday and be like, this is the guy we got to eliminate.
I hate that for him. And like, Christian was reasonable for it to be MVP last year, his impact on him. Like, some people argue that he should have been. But I hate it for them because when their agent goes in the meeting and the agent's like, hey, this is what number we want, the team comes back to them and is like, well, this is what we pay running backs. I'm not no damn running back. I ain't one of these dudes. But like, I'm not just one of these guys that's going to come in here and fit into an offense. So I understand that the value that you're going to get for Saquon, the difference between him and the mediocre running back is smaller than the value from Justin Jefferson to a mediocre receiver. But the impact on your offense is different. It's harder to measure, I think.
Well, that was Deebo Samuel's point. Like, exactly. I'm not just one position. Like, Saquon Barkley is a playmaker weapon, period. He is a home run hitter still. And when you think about when you look at his numbers, you have to add the context of what was around him and him still carrying that offense. Now, if I'm A.J. Brown, granted, maybe I get less touches, but if I'm Devontae Smith, I'm like, okay, we have an explosive guy in the run game, but we also have a weapon in the play action game. Like, that frees up everybody. Like, this offense is going to be very difficult to stop as long as he stays healthy.
Let me do another sound off here because it's obviously been such an interesting week and so many interesting things have been said. So we had Lewis Riddick on yesterday, and there's been so much talk about Russell Wilson going to the Steelers. Does he have the chance to revitalize his career? All that sort of thing. And yesterday here on the show, Lewis Riddick said, not so fast, my friend. It's not even a certainty that Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh this year. Here's what he needs to focus on.
I don't need you to cook, Russ. That's not what we need you to do. We need you to play on time. Throw the ball to George Pickens. Throw it to Pat Freiermuth. Hand it off to Najee Harris. Don't turn it over. Do what we ask you to do. Improvise when you need to, but not when you want to. And they're going to be much better. And I think this needs to be an open competition because Kenny now starts from scratch. Russ starts from scratch.
You want me to tell you who couldn't get the ball to George Pickens? Ooh. Who couldn't get the ball to Pat Freiermuth? Kenny Pickett couldn't get that. Or Russell Wilson wouldn't be in Pittsburgh right now. So, listen, I think Russell Wilson is going to win the job. This whole situation, I just think of Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. Like, you got Arthur Smith right now. If Russell Wilson plays like Ryan Tannehill when they were together in Tennessee, if you're Pittsburgh, you couldn't ask for much more than that.
Can I ask you a question?
And sure.
You're the offensive player sitting here, and so that's why I'm most interested in your perspective on this. If there is a defense to be made of Kenny Pickett, who obviously has not played well in his first two seasons, generally it is being made that the coaching was a real problem. They had Matt Canada there as the offensive coordinator. Many people thought that Mike Tomlin let him stay too long, finally fired him during last season. So is it fair to say, because I think this is the point Lewis was making, that the coaching was a significant problem for Pickett and that now with the fresh start, with the good new coach and everything else, that he has a chance to be much better?
Yes, I do agree with that. We know that we've talked ad nauseum about Matt Canada and his inability to utilize all the weapons that were with the Pittsburgh Steelers and get the most out of Kenny Pickett. And that's why they went with Arthur Smith. I will say this. If this thing is close, it's going to go to Kenny Pickett. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers as an organization, they're not going to give up on their first-round pick. A guy who went to the University of Pittsburgh right there in their backyard, they're not going to give up on him. So I think Russell Wilson has to be significantly better than Kenny Pickett to win the job. I do.
That's what the smile came by.
Because your question to D. Wood was, can Kenny Pickett get better? And I think Mike Tomlin had Matt Canada in that position. He held on to him too long. Mike Tomlin also replaced him with two different guys to be their OC last year, and Kenny Pickett struggled. You think Mike Tomlin is ready to say, that Kenny Pickett pick, not great. You don't think that Mike Tomlin is going to want to give his guy from jump the chance to at least show with a, quote-unquote, if you want to say, real OC what he can do? I think Russell, if we're being honest, Russell is clearly better than Kenny Pickett. He should be the starter. I don't know if he will be. Because think about if you start with Russell first. Can you go back to Kenny Pickett? Or you know what I'm saying? Like,
which is the move you can unmake and the one you can't unmake?
I want to say this. Here's what I'm going to say, and Nick can speak to this as well. You can't fool the players. Yeah, like, if you are right here, if Russell, the players can see it. Everyone can see it. If Russell Wilson is clearly outplaying Kenny Pickett, like, you can't, that scenario can never play itself out in the locker room.
The Tennessee example is a good one because Arthur Smith, Vrabel at the time, brought in Tannehill from Miami to sit behind Mariota. Next thing you know, he's a starter and he's having a great season. That could be a similar situation if Russell buys in. But you're right. If it's close, there's one thing. But Kenny Pickett, I don't know how the players feel about him in the locker room. I don't know what his relationships are. That means a lot. If they are done with him already, which sometimes happens, they can't wait for somebody to come in there, then it don't matter. Russell has to start. Right. If they have faith in him and they also believe that he's been, like, railroaded because of coordinator issues, then that's the thing.
Here's all we need to know in Pittsburgh is that guys on that team were excited that Mason Rudolph was throwing them the football, that Mason Rudolph was running the offense, a guy who was literally just chilling on the bench for a couple seasons.
Maybe we get the rarest of things in the NFL, and that is a true open competition.
Right.
I mean, we always assume that teams are going into it with vested interest. Well, I hope this works out, but if it doesn't, then we'll go this way. Maybe they really have it open. May the best man win.
Of the organizations that I believe to tell us the truth, it is the Steelers. Right. I think that they have stood by what they believe in, and if they say it's going to be an open competition, I believe them, but the bottom line is the players know. It's not Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is going to say the words, but it's not his decision.
Well, the quarterback I thought they should have gotten was Justin Fields. As it turns out, no one has gotten Justin Fields. He and the Bears seem to be running out of options and maybe running out of time. So is there suddenly an alternative that Chicago must consider? This could get crazy, but it might make sense. We'll explain it next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up call. What a moment last night. Bulls down 2 against Indy. 2 seconds left in regulation. Hit it.
Caruso to inbound. DeRozan to tie it.
Yes! The marvelous DeRozan
does it again in Indianapolis. And we're going to overtime.
Compton's in the house.
What a night for DeMar DeRozan as he brings them all the way back. And they wind up winning, the Bulls do, in overtime. DeRozan, a 6-time All-Star, gets lost in the day-to-day talk because Chicago is just so bad. But he's still one of the clutch players in the league, second this season in clutch time scoring, only slightly behind Steph Curry. All right, back to the NFL. Fact or fiction? Here we go. D. Wood, if I said the Bills' Super Bowl window is closed, is that fact or fiction?
No, that's fiction. Listen, anytime you have Josh Allen as your quarterback, who's a top three quarterback in the National Football League, your window will always be open. Now, listen, we know Buffalo's been dealing with some salary cap restraints, and they've let go of some key veterans, particularly on the defensive side, but they'll retool, and like I said, anytime you have Josh Allen, you always have a shot.
All right, next up, Kmart, let's go to Minnesota. If I said Justin Jefferson will be a Viking next season, is that fact or fiction?
Greeny, it's fact. But honestly, Minnesota, what is taking so long? They have said, they've made it clear they want Justin Fields.
Yeah, they should have him too, by the way.
Justin Jefferson. They want Justin Jefferson back. They want to pay him, and Justin clearly wants to stay there. But at this point, let's get it going, guys.
And let's get him Justin Fields and move on with our lives. I like that call, too. Dominique, if I said the Packers are the biggest threat to San Francisco in the NFC, is that fact or fiction?
It feels like fact after we saw the way that they played last year with a first-year starter at quarterback. They've always had concerns on defense. Hopefully those things will be addressed. But when you have a quarterback that's as promising as Jordan Love has shown, talented receivers, like they were so good last year with a very young team. A little bit of maturity, some playoff experience. I do think that right now, headed into the season, this could be one of the scariest teams in the NFC.
Oh, I completely agree. I think they're going to be really good. And then that brings us to another team in their division, their longstanding rival, the Bears, who find themselves in a bad position. They've been unable to find a trade that works for them for Justin Fields. And so the former Bear, Kyle Long, had this suggestion about what they might need to do.
You retain Justin Fields, you keep him. You also draft Caleb Williams. You get two quarterbacks for cheap. At some point during the season, somebody's going to come knocking on Ryan Poles' door because they will have an injury in their own building. They will need a quarterback that's ready, an explosive, dynamic option, and that's Justin Fields.
Can they do that?
I hate it. I hate, and listen, I got much love. Shout out to Kyle Long anyway, but I just think the quarterback room, Dominic, you know this as well, quarterback room is the most delicate room on a team. It really is, because the quarterback position, they tend, psychologically, to be hot strong. And so when you have a situation where you have a former number one pick, you know, first round pick in Justin Fields, and now you bring it in his quote unquote replacement as a number one overall pick, that dynamic seems very, very odd, and I wouldn't want any parts of it if I'm the Chicago Bears. None.
Teams need defined roles, and they need to buy into their defined roles, and I'm not sure that it can be clear what Justin Fields' role would be, and I'm not sure that he would buy into it. I think my message to Ryan Poles would be, you don't have to win every transaction. Right now, you have to do what's best for the young quarterback that you're about to draft and what's best for the team. If he believes that Justin Fields on that roster is best for the team, then more power to him. But I find it really hard to believe that's the case.
Greeny.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This is not me talking. Talk to NFL execs this week. Again, not me talking. They said the exact same thing that Kyle Long said.
What did they say?
They said it makes sense to hold on to Justin Fields. Literally the opposite of what we think at this table. Because think about it. Talk to one exec. Both execs are on teams that are in the QB market. Mm-hmm. And they said, one of them said, the longer you hold out, the cheaper his value is, right? Meaning, if the Bears want a second, we just wait. That price will go down. Second exec last night said, you know what? Why not keep them both? Again, America, Bishop, I don't believe in this. I don't think it makes sense for the reasons that you guys just laid out. But Dominique, when you say Ryan Poles has to understand you can't win every transaction, the conversations I had this week were, oh no, yes, he does need to win this because of the position that the Bears were in last year, having the number one pick, giving it away, having Justin Fields, having everyone know that they're gonna draft a quarterback and knowing they still have Justin Fields. And in this game of chicken, Ryan Poles, again, not me, guys,
you said,
are saying that you can't just give up a first-round pick for a fifth. Ryan Poles in this moment can't just give up a fifth and a sixth.
Okay, well,
get a fifth and a sixth.
You said that
for
him. You talked to executives. You didn't talk to players or coaches. Executives' jobs is to win transactions, and I think that the goal should be to win football games. So the decision that you should make is, how is this decision going to impact us winning football games? If you think, sincerely believe that keeping Justin Fields is going to help you win football games, keep him. I don't see it that way.
Agreed.
Lose the transaction. Mac Jones, get missing for a sixth-round pick.
Yes.
Fine. We are turning the page.
I agree with you. I agree with you. Hear me, though. Who is making the transaction? Not a coach, player. That is the difference, and that's part of the complicated situation of where we're at.
Again, for me, we're talking about two different things. You talk one conversation, it's about who's winning the transaction. I'm talking about the chemistry in the locker room, in the meeting rooms. Like, that is super important, especially the quarterback room. Like, people don't understand, like, the dynamic in the quarterback room can be make or break depending on who's in that room.
So let me play devil's advocate here, because while I think I tend to lean towards what you guys are saying, the other side is starting to make a little bit of sense to me. The first sentence I would say, you're a business person, you're a smart, savvy man. Has any organization ever become better by giving away something of value for far less than it is worth? Right? Just on its face, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So trading away Justin Fields, who was worth something. I don't know how we quantify what he's worth, but he's worth a lot more than a fifth-round pick. So giving him away for a fifth-round pick is in and of itself bad. The only reason you would do it is if you have no choice. So let's live in a world where now you make that choice.
Yep.
Now you say, all right, I know this isn't the way things are normally done, but we got two good young quarterbacks. We're going to let them compete for the job. We're going to let Justin Fields and Caleb Williams or whoever we draft go out there in training camp, compete for the job. If one of them, now we have two good quarterbacks. If one of them gets hurt, we still have a good backup. Yeah. And we get on with our lives and we see where it all leads us.
Anytime I'm making decisions like this, you try to assign some probability to the outcomes. Yeah. And I feel like, given my experience, and I'm with you, just because no one else has ever done it before doesn't mean it can't be done. And maybe Justin Fields and Caleb Williams have the disposition that can allow you to keep them in there at the same time and work through this. Maybe they don't. I haven't seen it happen in the past where two young guys who expect to be stars in this league coexist at that position. I haven't seen it work. I feel like the probability of it going wrong, if you keep them, is higher than the probability of it going well. Mm-hmm. So give me my sixth-round pick. Sorry, Justin, you got to go. Y'all can laugh at me because I lost the transaction, but I won the transaction that ended up with Caleb. I won the transaction that ended up with a pass rusher. Like, I've won plenty of transactions, and I'm going to win some damn games, and I have a franchise quarterback whose growth is not going to be impeded by other people and other nonsense that's around. So yeah, I don't want to sell anything for less than it's worth, but I also don't want to devalue the highest asset that's been in the draft in years in Caleb Williams. I do not want to put anything that's in his way that would impede his progress from becoming what we think he can become. And if that costs me a second round pick, so damn be it.
Okay, I think that's probably right. I mean, at the end of the day, I think I agree, but I see the other side.
No, I see the other side.
The other side is as ludicrous as, and there may come a point where they don't really have much in the way of an option. Champ Week, awesome. I mean, all the great stuff continues on ESPN and the app. We got Florida State and Carolina, ACC quarters today, noon Eastern. Then the Big 12 quarters, we got TCU and Houston. All the action coming your way here on ESPN. Top of the hour, free agent feeding frenzy, firing on all cylinders. We'll tell you why the quietest among them all might just be the best off. That's next. Get up on ESPN.